Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today, an Odyssey original podcast. Mo Moten along with Scott Branson. We are here talking Raiders football. We talked a lot about Jimmy G in the first. And yes, we both were not in favor of the Raiders signing Jimmy G, just to make it clear. The contract is friendly for the team, though, so there's that. You can take that away from it, and hopefully they're able to draft a young quarterback. We'll talk about that later as too. All right, Mo, we look at the Raiders and the rest of free agency. As we move into day two, we've seen some guys that we've thought that they should compete, especially you wrote a column up on SportsNot. I think it was with 15 free agents the Raiders should sign. One of them, Jesse Bates, from the safety from Cincinnati, who I thought should have been high on their radar. Guess what? Atlanta comes in, swoops him away, so he's gone. Jordan Poyer, of course, from Buffalo, still out there. He has not signed yet. He's a guy they could target. When you look at that safety position, outside of Marcus Epps, which we're not real overly excited about either, who else left out there? I mean, the Raiders, I think, either cornerback or safety. It could be one or the other. The safeties in the NFL draft this year are not, it's not a deep class. In fact, it's a pretty poor class, where at cornerback, it's much better. When you look at the situation with free agents, is that what you're expecting? Are you expecting one of these safeties to get to Vegas here in the next day or so?
Well, Poyer has been connected to the Las Vegas Raiders ever since he got on. I forgot which show he got on, but he said he wanted to go somewhere that was, you know, tax-free, nice weather. And people said, oh, got to be Las Vegas, right? So we'll see about that. Again, a lot of outlets have connected him to the Raiders. I don't know. Raiders kind of like their older safeties. They did sign Daron Harmon last year, who I believe is 32 years old. So Poyer is about that age, 31, 32. So I can see that being a fit. The other guy I will look out for is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson or C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
C.J.
That's a guy I like from the Eagles because he played a lot of safety last year. He was mostly a slot with the New Orleans Saints for his first 3 years, and then the Saints traded him to the Eagles. And he pretty much blew up at this free safety position. He led the league with 6 interceptions with 3 other players. So the Raiders need a ball hawk. They were last in turnovers last year with only 13, I believe, or tied for last in turnovers with 13, and they only had 6 interceptions. So they need someone who's going to force some turnovers and take the ball away, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson can do that. So those are the two guys that I'm looking at the safety position.
Yeah, no, good stuff. And I think that's the safety position, again, you cannot address it with where they're going to pick in the draft. I don't think they're going to address it in the first 2 rounds, which kind of goes by the wayside there. You also look at cornerback, some of the guys you mentioned. One, of course, is a trade. So the rumor has been that Darius Slay is available. Is Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey's gone to Miami. A lot of Raider fans were upset about that. And you brought up a good point I did as well, which was everyone's like, oh, that's all it costs. But no, Jalen Ramsey wants a new contract. So you're taking on a guy. And yes, the compensation back as far as picks or players go might not have been that great. And Raider fans look at that and say, why didn't the Raiders do that? The issue is he wants more money. He's not happy with his current contract.
The other thing is, I believe he wanted to go to Miami. So it's nothing you can really do if a player wants to go to specific destinations and they want a new deal. See, I think what a lot of people forget is that you may want a player, but that player may not want to go to your team. That player may not have your team on their preferred destinations list. And again, he wanted to go to Miami. Miami is going to give him, I believe, 3 years fully guaranteed. So they were 2 years that he had, and then he added on $25 million guarantee on a 3rd year. So you got to understand that I don't think the Raiders were going to be willing to pay him that type of contract. Now, I will say I would call the Eagles about Darius Slay, because if Jalen Ramsey went for a 3rd, if Darius Slay wants to play for the Raiders, maybe the Raiders can get a discount on Darius Slay as well. But you also got to remember Darius Slay is 32 years old, so you're not going to pay a whole lot of money for Darius Slay. So the price should come down on him because of his age. But the tricky thing you have to keep in mind with the Eagles and Darius Slay's contract is that the Eagles will save more money if they trade him after June 1. So if they trade him and designate it as a post-June 1 trade, they would save about 17 or more million. But if they trade him before June 1, it would be like $3.7 million saved. So the Eagles, for them, it doesn't help them much to trade him after June 1 unless they just really need the draft capital that bad. So if the Raiders don't trade, or if no team trades for Darius Slay before June 1, I would still look out for him after the draft because there's a possibility he could be traded during the summer. And if I'm the Raiders, I would circle back. Even if they do draft the cornerback early, I would circle back and ask about Darius Slay because, again, right now it's Nate Hobbs and Amik Robertson and Brendan Faison, which is not an impressive group.
Another guy you mentioned, Mo, was James Bradbury of the Eagles at cornerback. That's one of the names that I really like, and I think he's one of those guys available that, to me, would be in their market and would be somebody they would be in on. Of course, we haven't heard that yet, but tell us about Bradbury, why he fits well with Patrick Graham's system.
Well, first of all, he had a Pro Bowl year. He had his only Pro Bowl year under Patrick Graham in New York. He had one of his best years. Now, he was a second-team All-Pro this past season. People will scoff at the penalty he had in the Super Bowl, but that was one mistake. He had a great year last year. So not only has he been consistent, but he knows Patrick Graham's system, and he was a good player in under Patrick Graham. So I feel like the Raiders should have signed him last offseason when the Giants let him go. The Eagles swooped him up, and it worked out for them.
Yeah.
Now you're hearing that they could be interested in him again. I think it still makes sense because he's still playing at a high level. Add on James Bradbury. Now it's going to cost you more than $7 million, which is what the Eagles paid for him this past year. But I think he's still a solid, significant upgrade. Even if you bring back a Rock Ya-Sin, I think James Bradbury is the upgrade over Rock Ya-Sin.
Yeah, no question. And looking at the rest of the needs they have here, I mean, one of the things we talked about, defensive line, of course, all those Raider fans. Mm-hmm. Of course, Javon Hargrave. Oh, gotta go get him. Gotta go to him. And of course, San Francisco sweeps in, gives him the money, and that San Francisco defense just ridiculous up front. I mean, just got more ridiculous. It doesn't seem fair. But there are guys like Draymond Jones still out there. There are options for the Raiders here. Mo, they have to. Everybody's still focused on the offensive line. When I was arguing this week that can they use upgrades on the offensive line? Absolutely. But they're not. I don't think people are giving credit enough to Jermaine Illuminor and some of the other guys who really did get better as the year went on. I'm not saying that they're a top line offensive line, but they got better. And I think in some ways the defensive line, especially on the interior, is worse off than the offensive line.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And you mentioned Javon Hargrave off the board going to the San Francisco 49ers, where they're going to have another elite front four. The name I watch out for is Dalvin Tomlinson, because he's also played under Patrick Graham. Before he went to the Minnesota Vikings, he was with the Giants, so he's familiar with Patrick Graham's defense. Now, he's not the sack go-getter, but he's definitely going to help you in the run defense. The Raiders do need a three-technique defensive tackle who's going to generate some pressure. Why not bring back Jerry Tillery? I know that's not going to excite a lot of people, but I would just bring him back at a low cost. It's not a heavy defensive tackle market. Now that Javon Hargrave is off the market, now that Daron Payne has re-signed with the Washington Commanders, he has a huge money extension. So there aren't any really needle movers out there. I mentioned Dalvin Tomlinson, but again, he's not really known for his pass rushing ability. So the Raiders may have to go through the draft to get their three-technique defensive tackle. But as far as the offensive line you mentioned, I think eventually they get back with Jermaine Illuminor. He has that right tackle spot. I'm more focused on the guard position. You mentioned that Sportsnet article that I wrote. I believe I have a few guards on that list, mm-hmm. one of them being Dalton Risner. I think Isaiah Wynn. You know, he played tackle. He has some position versatility. He played left guard at Georgia on the collegiate level before he went to the NFL. So I think there's some offensive linemen they'll add. I really think they're going to add one or two guards. But as far as the defensive tackle spot, you mentioned Draymond Jones. He could also be a fit. He's probably the last name that big money deal, but he's going to want, I think he'll command close to $20 million a year. Will the Raiders be willing to pay that? We'll see if, you know, where he goes and what he gets.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. Isaiah Wynn, again, we mentioned the two at offensive line. It's going to be, I mean, we saw the Denver Broncos. Look what they did. They bolstered their offensive line, and they had to. I mean, what Russell Wilson went through with McGlinchey and, of course, the kid from Baltimore as well. And so you saw what's happening there, and then add Jarrett Stidham as their backup quarterback. So the division,
that was a surprise.
It was a very big surprise. And I know a lot of Raider Nation was counting on Jarrett Stidham to be the starter this year. That's the one thing I'll say, since we're revisiting the quarterback just for a second, which is there were people disappointed that it wasn't Jarrett Stidham and it was Jimmy G. And Jarrett Stidham started one game. Now, I understand the money aspect, but now that we have the numbers, not too bad off. And again, you and I both not excited about Jimmy G as the quarterback, or Jimmy Vegas, as I call him now. So we'll see how that all goes. Mo, when you look at...
I call him Jimmy G spot, but...
This is a family show, man. When you look at linebacker, Jermaine Pratt, Cincinnati, Bengal, I'm one of those guys. There's not a lot of off-ball linebackers in the draft, by the way, either. There is a couple of good ones, but not guys that necessarily the Raiders are. But you have David Long out there, too, is another guy that a lot of Raider fans talk about. The linebacking position is not as in demand as it was, sort of like the what the running back is on the defense, because the position has changed and there's those hybrid spots now. But you look at those two guys, which are two guys that you mentioned in your piece as well, and what's available on the market. I think that's got to be, with Denzel Perryman now gone into free agency, the Raiders got to address the linebacking position, don't they?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They absolutely have to. And you mentioned, I had David Long Jr. before we went on. He signed with the Dolphins.
Oh, there
Jermaine
you go.
Pratt is going back to the Cincinnati Bengals. So that took off the two guys that I had my eye on. I have Landon Roberts on the list too as a bargain bin option. The problem with Landon Roberts is he's not very good in coverage. He's more of a two-down linebacker who can contribute on the blitz. So if you need a guy to blitz inside, he's your guy for that, because he has the speed. He's about 6'1", 238, quick, but again, can't cover. I would say can't, but he's a liability in coverage. So the Raiders may have to look at the linebacker position in the draft along with the defensive tackle spot if they don't make any splashes in free agency. But I will say that, you know, who knows? There could be a guy out there that gets traded, because on Monday, even before I did my live show, there were guys out there requesting to speak with other teams. Austin Eckler from the Chargers requesting to speak to other teams because he was trying to get a new deal. So every year there is a surprise trade that we don't foresee happening because the guy wants a new contract and the team is not willing to pay him that. So I would just look out for trades that could happen. There was a tweet that I put out earlier on Monday, and I said the Raiders should make a call for Patrick Queen. And I think it's a realistic possible trade, simply because the Ravens acquired Roquan Smith from the Bears and they gave him a new 5-year, $100 million deal. You don't see teams paying two inside linebackers big money contracts.
No way.
And Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Ravens, was very noncommittal about Patrick Queen's future, which means he's probably not going to re-sign him on a big money deal, being that they got Roquan Smith. If I'm the Raiders, I'm calling for Patrick Queen because he vastly improved last year under that Raiders defense.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to step aside for our final break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the league. We'll talk about, as at the time of recording, things are changing so quickly and things are so happening so fast that we may end up talking about things that have already changed by the time you listen to it. That's just the nature of the biz, if you will. We're not NFL Network. We can't be on the air for 12 hours just waiting for things to happen, like I watched this morning. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, we'll do that when we come back. We'll go through some of that. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to end up? We already have reports that he has been traded. We'll talk about that when we come back, as well as how some of these other movements could affect the Las Vegas Raiders. He is Mo Moten. I'm Scott Goldbranson. This is Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast covering the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll be right back.